Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Onocero, and after, 2 months now, I am finally joined by my guy, Jay Binkley. It's been a minute, Jay.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
You know what? Got the old RV, seen the Grand Canyon, seen Mount Rushmore, seeing everything, man. And then watching a lot of college football playoffs, going to all the games. I'm back from the road, man. Been scouting these players out in person. I'm just kidding about all this. It's good to be back.
I'm glad.
Kidding about all that.
I'm very
I wish I could have done all that.
I wish you could have been here the last 2 months. I'm very happy you're back. It hasn't been the same show without you.
It's time to ramp up, man. This is what we do. I mean, this is, you know, I'm sitting here watching all these prospects and the college football playoffs, thinking about the guys we've talked. I'm looking at the NFL this year and thinking about all those discussions we've had the previous couple years when, you know, we had discussions, Jaden Daniels, we're taking over Caleb Daniels or Caleb Williams. And then you see what he's going out there and doing. And you see all these rookies. If you watch these NFL playoffs, you see these rookies that we've discussed year in and year out going out there and absolutely dominating. And one of the funny things, Xavier Worthy of the Chiefs that we talked a lot about how he's more than just that one-trick pony, more than just the speed guy, right? People forgot he led the team, the Texas, in receptions and yards for 3 straight seasons. And all of a sudden, oh, my God, he can catch. He's like, yes, he's a serviceable receiver. We told you this on Character Concerns.
We told you. We told you this after the draft. We told you this before the draft, to be honest.
And we told you Will Levis sucks.
Yeah, we told y'all Will Levis sucks.
We didn't even scout him like the Titans did or anything. They get him in the first round. Chris and I sat here with Nick Swart back in the day, yeah, and we said, don't draft Will Levis. He's, man, a turnover machine. He sucks. Yeah. The Titans did. They're an NFL team. We were 3 guys doing a podcast in Kansas City. Come on.
what my phone has been like the last few weeks. It's been firing off hot takes.
Oh, a lot of hot takes.
So we'll get caught up on some of these on a later date, but this is a big week for the pre-draft process because this is Senior Bowl week. And we will go and do a deep dive. Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl week. It's College All-Star week.
Thursday night, Shrine Bowl.
Shrine Bowl is Thursday night.
Unless you're listening to this on Friday, it was Thursday night, but it's...
We appreciate if you would listen to this before,
when we record it,
before
it's
Friday.
It's going to be Thursday.
Yeah, but if you missed it, I mean, you know, so be it. But a lot of players are pulling out of both the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but... because today was day one of the Senior Bowl practice. Shrine Bowl practice started on Saturday.
They're kind of, you know, the back and forth of some of these bowls. They're kind of right, like in this rivalry thing. It's like, come on, man. Eventually, we just need to. They're going to probably need to combine these because you're seeing more and more guys.
More guys
not
are
going
are
to these because
yeah,
they're staying for nil, or they're getting advice not to do anything. As we're seeing less and less guys
right
do skills at the combine. Now, right, we had like one quarterback run last year.
Yeah, it was hard.
Like, it was hard. I'm not running.
So we'll dive more into that later on here. But I want to talk about the Chiefs and how they were able to build up their three-peat run that they are on right now. If you're listening to this, you obviously know that the Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl again. In a couple weeks, they will be down in New Orleans, or a little less than a couple weeks now, down in New Orleans, attempting to do something that no team has ever done, which is to win three straight Super Bowls in a row. It is an incredible feat. And I wanted to start the show off by just showing you how this team was built, for the most part, because obviously we know what happened, you know, back in the 2010s when they went and got Kelce, Mahomes, Chris Jones over the middle part of that decade. But I mean, let's not forget, 21 was a year where it was the down year. Of the years that the Chiefs have had, it was probably the worst one. It was during the Mahomes era, it was the one where they were up 21-3 in the AFC Championship game and they fell apart. But in the last four drafts, the Chiefs have been building towards this moment. Starting in 21, they went and got the green dot on defense, Nick Bolton, linebacker. Then they got Creed Humphrey, who was he's been a big anchor for their offensive line, especially on the interior. They got Noah Gray at tight end, and then they went and took a shot in the dark and got guard Trey Smith, who was about to become the highest paid player at his position. Creed Humphrey already the highest paid player at his position. That's just the 21 draft. Yeah. 22. This is the draft that, this is the first time that me and you ever did anything draft related together. They went and got Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis on day one of the draft. Day two, they go get Brian Cook, Leo Chanel. Day three, they go get Joshua Williams. They go get Jalen Watson, and they go get Isaiah Pacheco just to round things out in what I think both me and you agree is like maybe the greatest Chiefs draft ever.
Yeah, 22 draft gets you the reason they're in the 25 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's 100%. I mean, Trent McDuffie, all-pro shutdown corner. George Karlaftis had three sacks against the Texans. He's really
turned that corner. He's been awesome in the playoffs.
We had his coach on in college, but, you know, when he was in college at Purdue. And he was talking about just that relentless motor. Because I always kind of likened him to a Max Crosby. I'm not saying he's as good as Max Crosby because I don't think anybody is. That guy's that good. But he's on that, got that motor. He's got a relentless Brian Cook. He's in that rotation. He's out there a ton of snaps at safety. Leo Chanel, two block kicks this year. Know how good he is. Joshua Williams had to play a lot for Jalen Watson when he got hurt. Jalen Watson has come back, looked great in the AFC title game. And Isaiah Pacheco, who's the leading rusher on that Super Bowl team a couple years ago. And, of course, this year they bring in Kareem Hunt, in my mind, is kind of the go-to guy at this point. But Isaiah Pacheco coming off that injury, I don't think he's still 100% yet. But, man, I mean, this draft class and the one before it, when you look at Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey, Noah Gray and Trey Smith, that is a big reason why they're in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
It's been huge for them. It's been massive for them. This was the one that built the foundation. And the great part about it was that you look at all these names, every one of these guys was contributing immediately to what they were doing. You know, Trent McDuffie immediately starting corner. George Karlaftis immediately starting edge rusher. Brian Cook immediately was, actually, no, he wasn't immediate. He was like halfway through the season he became the starting safety. Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, both were very quickly starting on the outside at corner. And Isaiah Pacheco, very quickly, by halfway through the season, he had taken the starting job from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Moving on to the 23 draft.
What would you have contracts coming up? Like you mentioned earlier with Trey Smith, who
right
going to be the
probably
going to
be the, he's going to be the highest paid player.
And will
in his
the Chiefs be able to pay that? Probably not.
Yeah, no.
To be honest, they're going to make business decisions coming up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, in my mind, you know, they went out and they got Carson Steele. This is an undrafted free agent. Great story. This year, they'll draft one like the Cowboys. They'll draft a running back. I feel that they're going to draft a running back this year. Not
I think
in the first
so
round.
I think so.
Not
too
in the second round.
Well, I think maybe sometime day two.
Maybe the fifth. I mean,
I could see a day two.
I think they're afraid to go five or seven to draft a running back. But this year, the running back position is one of the positions I actually like a lot.
I like a lot. I think it's going to be day two just because they have three picks that day, and also because there's not a whole lot of other positions that are really that strong.
And I'm not going to throw a fit at the get receiver either or
me
tight
neither
end early
me
on.
Me neither.
I mean, if Loveland's still there, Tyler Warren, which I don't think they are, but if there's some way they slip, I'd get them.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Obviously, unless they trade up for it.
Moving on to 23.
Call Buffalo.
Moving on to 23, two guys that really ended up being big contributors. Rashee Rice, who is, you know, the best receiver that the Chiefs have on their roster. And then you got Shamari Connor as well, who has been able to give them a lot of good snaps in that hybrid safety and nickelback.
That was my favorite pick of that class.
Your favorite pick by far.
Listen, there's times that he makes mistakes. I mean, clearly, you know, in the secondary he does. But he's that hybrid guy. And he's a Spags guy because you got what they wanted. They wanted a guy that could rush the passer from a cornerback position and a guy that could shut down tight ends and play corner. Not only that, they needed a four phaser for special teams. They needed a guy to be able to play all the special teams. So Dave Tope, here's your guy. Steve Spagnuolo, here's your guy. Have fun with him. And I mean, again, he's not going to light it up. He's not going to be, you know, in all pro or in the Pro Bowl at this point. Maybe eventually he will. Actually, none of the Chiefs are in the Pro Bowl, so it's a man of the Super Bowl. But just kind of a glue guy. I'm going to put a glue guy in Rashee Rice, who we saw really, really take that step the second half of the season, a lot like a guy that we're going to be talking about from this past draft class. But Rashee Rice taking that steps that you want to see. And again, that was the guy that did everything at SMU. There's a reason why they wanted him.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the yards after the catch, it's what they do.
And also like Mahomes worked out with him at Camp Pat.
Mahomes worked out with him.
And he was his favorite guy.
But he had I don't have the numbers in front of me now, but I did know him. But he's got, 35 or 40 more catches than the next guy behind him in SMU. I mean, he led that team. But he got injured this year and he was taking that step. At the beginning of the year, there was arguments, is he one of the better receivers in the NFL? I mean, not Jamar Chase level, Justin Jefferson, but there was talks like, man, how good is this Rashee Rice?
Yeah, and he was, early on in the season, he was like on a pace to be like a top 10, maybe even a top 5 receiver based on his usage early on before he got hurt in the Chargers game.
And it's going to be great to have him back.
At some point.
It's going to be great.
During next season.
But you're still going to maybe have to deal with that suspension.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Suspension and injury. So at some point he comes back, but we don't know.
This is pause for a second. Like Hollywood Brown, you and I both thought he wasn't coming back this following year because of things Brett Veach said last year at the draft. Hey, he's coming in for a year and all that. But by being hurt, his market has gone down. And with his age, his market's gone down. I think there's a real possibility he could come back next year.
I think it's a real possibility, but I wouldn't be shocked, especially the last two cycles. We've seen teams go out there and pay like the 3-year 30 for like Juju. New England did that. And then this past offseason, we saw that with the Bills pay 3 years 30 for Curtis Samuel. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if someone decided to give him a 3-for-30 based on his age and based on the little that he showed when he was healthy.
And DeAndre Hopkins, I know, listen, I like DeAndre Hopkins a lot. I think it makes a lot of sense. But his snap count hasn't been much the last 2 weeks.
He's a little cooked.
He's not playing very much.
He's got torn MCL. He don't look like
so
the same.
So get the weapons, man. Because right, if Rice comes back and you got Worthy, obviously you're going to have Worthy coming back. Who knows what Justin Watson may or may not be on this team next year. Bring somebody else in, man. Bring some more fresh blood in. No reason not to have great receivers.
And then, obviously, last year's draft, Xavier Worthy and Jaden Hicks, the safety that they got in the fourth round.
And he's a thumper like we thought.
I think Hicks, but this is your Justin Reed surprise answer. Thing about Hicks, though, is the fact that he was able to establish himself as a deep safety, not just the thumper that we thought he would be. I think he led the team in interceptions, or was like right there at the top with interceptions with 3. He was excellent this year in the time that he got. And as the season went along, the last couple months of the season, he was seeing like right around 50, if not a little bit over 50% of the snaps as the season was going along. So Jaden really stepped up later on in the season, was getting a lot of usage.
50% of the snaps this last game.
Yeah, yeah. So he's been floating right around 50%. He's obviously played a ton of special teams, but he's been getting his usage raised up because he wasn't playing very much early in the season. And then obviously, Xavier Worthy, since the Buffalo game, he has had at least 5 catches and 41 yards in every game since then. And at the current pace that he's on since that game, he'd be right at Rashee Rice's numbers from last year if he would have been on that pace the entire year. He's been excellent the last couple months.
It's been a talking point with the Bills fans whenever they get over, you know, the officiating. In the talk of the Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, because that was the talking point. Because I remember the Bills fans, you know, talking about it early in the season when they played. And I remember going on Buffalo shows, hey, man, look, Keon Coleman's been hurt. All this, I said, hey, look at Xavier Worthy's numbers, but don't forget to look at his rushing numbers either. Because the 3 rushing touchdowns or whatever, he can do both. He's led the Chiefs wide receivers the last 2 weeks. Not only that, He was the only wide receiver to have a catch. This is why you draft these guys. He was the only Chiefs receiver, because the tight ends caught some passes, but the only receiver to get a catch against Houston, Xavier Worthy.
He was the best receiver in the AFC Championship game this past
Sunday. His ball control is more focused when he gets near the sideline. That trust level has gone up with Patrick Mahomes. And I'll remind people, once again, like I said earlier, this isn't just, because I heard this all the time during the draft, all the time with the text messages, the calls. Well, you know, Xavier Worthy is a combine gimmick. He ran that 4-2-1, and everybody's enamored with him. We kept saying, he's more than that. He led Texas in catches and yards the previous 3 years. Think about that. The University of freaking Texas, he led them not only in catches, but in yards the previous 3 seasons. That's not a joke.
And on top of that, this is a kid that almost had 1,000 yards with a broken hand.
Yep. He's tougher than people think.
He was small in college, and he was dominant.
Yep.
And not just run straight down the field and Quinn Ewers will bomb it and he'll go. No, great at adjusting to all the Quinn Ewers underthrows that he did throughout his entire run at Texas there. Great at his ability to run shorter routes and get open there. And that was the thing about him in that latter part of the season. He wasn't running deep routes and then Mahomes was bombing it down the field. Early in the season, that's what they were doing with him. But later in the season, he was basically running that shorter offense. Let me run these shallow crossers. I'm going to catch it here or I'm going to go. Let's run these bubble screens and I'm going to run after the catch. They found ways to get the ball to him short and in space. And that's the thing that really made him an effective receiver. And it's like, that's completely different from what we heard people saying that he was going to be, because he wasn't just this gadget guy. He was basically their number one wide receiver the last few weeks of the season.
And I think they really want him in the yards after catch role because they're really using him for that. I mean, he shows the smallness, you know, at times being brought down on tackles that you'd like to see him break through. I mean, right. That does happen.
Yeah.
There's some plays, if he breaks a tackle, he's gone.
Right, yeah, but again, he's small.
But he's smaller.
And that's the trade-off that you get with some of his physical talent.
As you go forward in the years, those become misses.
Yeah,
those become body control misses. He gets stronger, and those become misses, and those become touchdowns. Because he is like literally one tackle away a lot of times from a big, big-time play.
And also, like, as he gets older, the nuance around the route running, the nuance around his ability to sell the short stuff and then go deep, like that's going to improve too, especially like when you get Rashee Rice back in, and if they go get some, you know, some other pass catchers as well to add to the threat level that the offense presents. The defense can't solely focus on him. They're going to have to focus on other guys too. And when that happens, it's going to open things up for him down the field again. So like I said, I think a lot of people are kind of eating some crow in that situation with Worthy. We're obviously probably going to be gloating about it all throughout the draft process.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Says here, because there were a lot of people that there was one guy that texted in that didn't think that Worthy was going to play more than 11 games. He was trying to bet people.
It's probably
the same people
that sent in that Mahomes sucks in college and that we should have drafted Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody's an expert.
I called him out. I was like, you're not gonna appear again here when we are when the season's done and he plays more than 11 games. You're not gonna text.
I mean, when things happen, I don't know the answers. You don't know the answers. You gotta wait. Like we said, you gotta wait. Sometimes a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes just the year. Like Xavier Worthy, we know is good.
We knew
he
was good.
We don't have to sit there and wait on him.
Like we knew he was good from the very.
We know he's not very good. I mean, I liked him when he was drafted, but things happen and he's not very good.
Oh yeah, I think we figured that out very quick with Sky. So moving on to Shrine Bowl news, three big topics to talk about here. One, Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado, not shocking. I think we kind of thought that this would happen. Shedeur Sanders, almost assured to go top three right now. He did interviews with the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants at the Shrine Bowl. And then after he did those interviews, he pulls out. Completely no drills, not going to play in the game. And from what I've read, I heard that the interviews went really well. The X's and O's, they weren't quite as impressed with that part with his game, which does not shock me. But they said they really like his personality and his leadership skills. And so I think at this point, when you got a guy in that scenario that could improve and lock themselves in as a top five, top six pick and meets with the top three teams and he pulls out of drills, I think we can get a pretty good idea that he's probably going to go very high.
But you just watch the tape. I mean, we all know they had some line problems there going back last year. A little bit better this year. Time in the pocket, didn't have much. I mean, he took a lot of hits, man. Shedeur Sanders took a lot of hits.
He definitely showed his toughness this year.
So if that's one of your questions, can he take hits? He proved that. Like, he proved that. And his accuracy. I mean, his connection with Travis Hunter and everything. I mean, and no, you know, the quarterback class isn't that great. And, you know, Shadur's there, and he's proven himself to be that guy. I don't think Dion's going to be the guy that's always up in the business like people say that he is. I think that's
I don't think he will either, because I think
that's not true.
It would really ruin his son if that happened.
I don't think that's happening. I think that's what people want to happen, but I don't think it's what's happening. But, yeah, he's impressing people with those interviews. And just watch the tape. He made plays. Like, there's a reason why Colorado was able to beat. It was that offense. I mean, yeah, the defense played better this year. But Shedeur hung in the pocket strong and delivered the ball. I mean, he was hit a lot. And I'm not talking just sacks. He was pressured a lot, too.
Yeah, he was getting hit. He didn't have a good offensive line this year for the second straight year at Colorado. And, yeah, so he was out there getting unloaded on by these pass rushers. One guy I was really interested to see get an opportunity to showcase what he could do at the Shrine Bowl was Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant, a guy who I think could be, even though I think his draft stock might be a little high for the Chiefs, they might have to trade up if they really want to get him. But Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle, Michigan, not going to participate at the Shrine Bowl drills or the game as well. That's a little disappointing. But one guy who really made a name, who's really making a name for himself, a guy that we both liked throughout the season, is KU cornerback Kobe Bryant, a guy who he's got good height to him, good length to him, little light, about 171 is what he weighed at the Shrine Bowl. But one of the things that's popping off, he's been the best corner at the Shrine Bowl thus far. He's very confident. That's the one thing you hear. He's very confident. He's been chirping a lot at the receivers, talking a lot of trash. But the thing that would concern me if the Chiefs were looking at him, and I wonder this, is the weight going to be an issue? Is he going to have to probably put on another 10 or 20 pounds? Most of the Chiefs corners, aside from like, and McDuffie's like 190. He's like right around 190. He's about 5'11", 190. The thing that concerns me is he going to have to put on 20 pounds in order to play in a system like the Chiefs, or play in most systems, because teams are kind of wanting these bigger corners now? And is that going to affect his ability down the field? Because he's kind of a ball-hawking corner. So those things kind of worry me a little bit with him. But besides that, the weight issue, he's looked really good on tape, and he's looked really good.
He has another standout that people have been talking about on the Shrine Bowl is Bryce Cabaldu, the offensive lineman out of KU, 6'4", 306 pounds. Got guard size, he's going to play guard in the NFL, played 3 years at right tackle for Kansas, handful of snaps at guard. He played left tackle. So he's got the tackle experience, but he's an interior guy. And we're not talking first rounder here at all. We're talking mid-round type guy, mid to late round guy at this point. But Bryce Cabaldu turning some heads at the Shrine Bowl as well.
Moving on to the Senior Bowl, you've got a huge list of non-participants, guys who pulled out. I think part of this is, you could say, college football playoff, adding all the extra games certainly has affected the attendance for this, because a lot of these guys did play in the games, or that maybe they played through injuries throughout the season and they're nursing them up now because the combine is a month away. But these are the names that are non-participants in the Senior Bowl. Starting out, you have Texas A&M edge rusher Nick Scorton, a guy that I've talked about a lot as a potential fit in Spags' system, though I think he's probably going to mid-first round.
Maybe mid-first round, but that's been a name that's been hotly linked to the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's massive. He could play inside. He could play outside. Even though he's an edge rusher, he's like 285. So I think he probably fits more as like a three-tech that can play on the outside.
And they've gone heavy on edge rushers, but Andrew always says you can't have enough of them.
Can't have enough of them.
I think they need tweeners, though, guys that can play the inside defensive line and outside a lot, and like Chris Jones type.
And he can do that. Ohio State has a couple of guys in tackle, Donovan Jackson, a guy who really rose up a lot of people's boards there at left tackle there. If they'll draft Ohio State. The other guy is edge rusher Jack Sawyer, not going to be participating.
And I sure hope they do in a couple years when Jeremiah Smith is eligible. Jack Sawyer's interesting.
I hope they're not in position to draft Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, because that means they had a bad year.
He could be a top five pick probably.
But Jack Sawyer is interesting. He's a guy we talked a ton about even last year, but he decided – he was one of those Ohio State players that decided to come back. They got like a group chat and say, hey, let's go back and finish the job.
Let's do it again.
And he's one of those guys. He got that scoop and score in the semifinal game. Tough player. But again, I don't know if you and I are just playing around with the Ohio State there and whatever. But, I mean, there is some history there, and they don't do it.
They don't do it.
So I'm curious.
And I've been saying it for years. I'm like, there's some good players there. They put some good guys in the league, but apparently Veach is still not into it.
Yeah.
Texas defensive tackle Alfred Collins, a guy that I really like for the Chiefs if they were to go get him late first round. He is not participating. Stanford wide receiver Elik Iemanuir, my favorite receiver for the Chiefs to get. He did measurements there. He came in at 6'2", 210. So he came in with some nice size there that I think the Chiefs could definitely use. So obviously I've loved him just on film throughout the year, last couple years. But yeah, not going to work out. I think he's probably saving it for the combine there. But a little disappointed. Didn't get to see him this week.
And I think that, it's kind of like last year I've noticed. We've been doing this with three draft nows, four draft nows. I forgot how many drafts we've done.
This will be the third draft with
Kansas
us doing
City,
it.
Been doing it.
That we've been doing.
But the combine, it isn't like the old days where guys were doing everything, where they do the bench press, the vertical, and everything.
A lot of these guys just do like whatever drills they know they're going to be really good
it kinda,
at.
It kind of worries you a little bit sometimes. You're like, see. But the pro days have become more and more important. That's the home timers. Mm-hmm. They're at home. They get to be with their guys. They go out and practice. And that's been the place. I mean, that's been the place where scouts have to go. I mean, they have to get out and travel. And that's why they may eventually regionalize the combine, which they haven't done yet. But it's a little bit disappointing because the combine is where we used to kind of all get our numbers. Now you got to have your head on a swivel for the pro days.
Yeah, no, that part does.
And the Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowls, we're seeing all these guys opt out of it.
Yeah, a lot of guys are doing that now. That's unfortunate because I kind of feel for guys like Jim Nagy and whatnot that work hard to put this together. But if those guys don't do it, other guys will, and maybe some of those other guys can make themselves some money. Oregon edge rusher Jordan Burch pulled out. Georgia guard Tate Ratledge, a guy that I was thinking could be a good day two pick for the Chiefs if they wanted to get a guard. Texas safety Andrew Mukuba, who was really, really good late in the season.
And the Chiefs going guard's interesting, though. I think it's safer to draft a guard than a tackle.
Me too.
And Kingsley. Like, what are they going to do with Kingsley? Is he going to be a tackle?
Or are they going to feel more comfortable putting him in? I think they're going to give him another shot at tackle.
All right.
I think they're going to give him another shot at tackle.
We know at least he's going to get a chance at guard. If the tackle doesn't work out, Wanya Morris.
If it doesn't work, move him inside.
Wanya Morris isn't inactive for him.
No.
I mean, the Chiefs still have an offensive line issue. And, you know, and people are like, oh, they need to trade up and get a Kelvin Banks or something like that. Nah, I don't know, man.
There is no tackle that I would feel comfortable with them trading up and getting.
Honestly, I'm okay.
Or taking at 32 or 31 or 32.
Unless you're going to be up in like Eric Fisher and Lane Johnson type area like they were in that draft. Lane Johnson's still playing.
Right.
Almost, man. That's where I'd spend the free agency dollars. I hate to do it, but it's more proven, man. And that's what you got to have. You got to have that left tackle.
I think
Humphreys would be great, but he hasn't been here much.
Yeah, my issue is just I would much rather either they spend the money to get a tackle or you develop, or you could trade
like
too.
Orlando Brown,
but I would.
Move.
But the only problem I have with that is trading a first and then paying a guy. I'm not a huge fan of that. I wasn't a fan of it with Frank Clark, and I wasn't a fan of it with Orlando Brown Jr.
But if Kingsley works out and he works out a tackle. Great. He's had a year of practicing every day against Chiefs edge rushers.
And that's my thing is like I the Chiefs picked him for a reason. They put him in that spot for a reason. Now I think we both, and even at the time, we both found it a little weird that they put him in there so quick.
I think you and I we talked a lot about it. They got him a second, not a first. They didn't waste the first on it.
Right.
But we talked about it, at the end of the first round, all these people had them taking linemen. I'm like, man, they're moving all these guys to guard or right tackle.
Right. Yeah.
They're not left tackles. And then you see what happens with Kingsley. Some people want him in the first round.
Oh, I know. And dude, I was totally we talked about this.
With his athleticism,
he could
be guarded.
I was totally against him going in the first.
I wanted a receiver.
I was like, if you want to take him in the second, if he's there, cool. You want to trade up a little bit, go get him, cool.
Proof's in the pudding. Who helped the team more, Xavier Worthy or Kingsley Sumatia?
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, no questions
asked. But my thing was like, you got to get you a pass catcher because we cannot have another issue like we had this year. So, yeah, no, I we were both right on that, and, you know, good thing they didn't take him in the first round. Another defensive tackle that pulled out, Shamar Turner for Texas A&M. Another guy I think would be a good fit for the Chiefs. Iowa State running back Cam Scadabaugh, who made himself a ton of money in that playoff game against Texas. Like, seriously, that was a great performance by him. And I think if you had been around here, like we probably would have been waxing poetically about the kind of performance the Scadabaugh put on in the college football playoff. And then Michigan running back Kalel Mullings, who I thought definitely improved his draft stock throughout the year, he pulled out as well. Like I said, I think that this it sucks from the perspective of the guys who are running these events. Because you now lose on big prospects that could get people to want to watch this. And also, it kind of sucks for the teams, too, because that's one less opportunity you get to evaluate the young guys that would be going out there and getting the coaching there.
I know sometimes I was doing some of these shows last week in Buffalo or whatever. They were talking about Joe Tooney. Now, the Chiefs can be okay moving Joe Tooney to left tackle. And it does bring up some interesting stuff as far as what you do in the draft. Joe Tooney, there's a reason why Andy Reid was hesitant to move him to tackle.
Short arms.
He's got 32 and a quarter inch arms.
Yeah.
Andy Reid's average tackle is 34 and a quarter. That was the hesitance, man. But, you know, being Pro Bowl guy, you got that DNA. And sometimes you do things like Ryan Lilje. People said Ryan Lilje had no arms. He ended up playing interior line for the Colts and winning a ring.
Not even just that, but like his size, too. Like I think he was under 300 pounds.
But he made a difference, though. He did well against Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
He did well against Russo this week. I mean.
And even, like, you remember Casey Wigman, too? He was like 280 at center.
It's that championship DNA, man.
And that was a guy that a lot of people were like, why is he playing center? But he was actually incredibly athletic. And because of that, he was able to start for what was a great Chiefs offensive line in the early 2000s there.
Well, we're going to have plenty of discussion. One of my favorite things is looking at the mocks because they're going fast and furious and crazy. At this point, we still don't know. We still got 2 weeks to get picks 32 and 31. So we know at least the Chiefs are picking 31 or 32.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that.
Yeah, we know about that. So I do want to get to some lineman measurements from the Senior Bowl because I think these will be really interesting in the discourse as we go along. And
keep an eye on 34 and a quarter for tackles.
So I want to start with a guy that I've talked about a lot as a potential option for the Chiefs at edge rusher, Landon Jackson from Arkansas. 6'4", 273 is what he weighed at the Senior Bowl. So he's a big-ass edge rusher. He's almost defensive tackle size.
Yes, he is.
33.5-inch arm length. So good arm length for what Spags is looking for there. Certainly, you know, not freakishly long arms, but I Spags likes those guys to be about 32, if not, 32 or higher. One guy that I think is really interesting, Florida defensive tackle Cam Jackson, 6'6", 353. This guy's basically the size of Tavondre Sweat from last year's draft out of Texas. 34-inch arm length. KU left tackle Logan Brown. This is the guy. I pointed him out probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. If there's anybody, I think the Chiefs will take a tackle because I don't think they're going to take one high. I think they're going to take, if they do take one, it's going to be a project guy that's a really great athlete that they develop over some time. I think Logan Brown, left tackle from Kansas, would be the guy. 6'6", 311. Now, he doesn't have that freakishly crazy arm length of 34 inches. 33-inch arms is what he weighed, is what he came in at. But this is a guy that's a former five-star, went to Wisconsin, played there, and then had some injury issues and whatnot. Goes, transfers to KU, and had a nice season there for the Jayhawks. But he looked good at the Senior Bowl today. And I think if there's anybody that they're going to take as a project guy, I think Logan Brown might be that kind of guy because he's a great athlete. This probably...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Right now, he's leading the clubhouse for me as far as my favorite pick for the first round for the Chiefs. UK, Kentucky defensive tackle Deon Walker. This is a guy that early in the season had like a top 10, top 5 grade going into the year for the first round. This kid is 6'7". He's actually bigger than what they – he's actually taller than what they listed him at Kentucky. 6'7", 340. He's got 34.5-inch arms, some of the longest arms of any of the guys that came in there. I think Mimbo from Mizzou was the only guy that had longer arms than him. So this guy, he's a unit. Ole Miss edge rusher Princely Amonmilin came in at 34.25-inch arms. And then Texas defensive tackle Alfred Collins, 6'5", 319, 34.33-inch.
Yeah, and as far as Princely, he's been looked upon. Even the Chiefs have seen him in a few mocks. And yeah, anywhere from 32 to about 22, kind
yeah,
of
he's, range, he's, isn't he? He's somewhere in that back third for the first round there. And I, he's a former Florida guy. I talked about him in the 23 season. He decided to transfer and go to Ole Miss. And I talked about him a lot during the last couple months of the season there. So Princely would be great. Did you see any of the Senior Bowl practice today?
Well, a little bit, not much because they had to come up here. I go up. We'll be on again tonight. Be on over. And not only that, but the Shrine Bowl with the practices, they'll be winding up tomorrow. They play Thursday night,
right?
But then the media, a lot of them go from Dallas to Mobile, and a lot of them don't watch the games.
The practices are the main thing because a lot of the players don't play in the games. So here's guys I think were winners on day one. We'll give you our overall winners next week when we do the podcast there. But recording this on a Tuesday, here's the day one guys that really popped off to me. First off, Miami tight end Elijah Arroyo. This kid's really athletic. He was routing guys up. He was routing safeties up in the one-on-ones today. This is a guy I think probably going to be like in that third, fourth round range. If you're like, I think maybe like late third with their late third pick, if the Chiefs wanted to get him and they really liked his athleticism, this is a guy I think would be a very good addition to what the Chiefs like. Oregon wide receiver Tez Johnson to me looked a lot like Xavier Worthy. Just really good route runner.
Now he balled out today. I was able to see some of that.
He killed it today. He's incredibly fast. He thinks he could have a chance of beating Xavier Worthy's 40 time record. I'm not going to hold him to that because that would be an incredible number. If he could run in the 4.2s, though, if he can do like what Nate Wiggins did last year with that 4.29 he ran, that would be enough for me. That would be enough for me to be like, okay, yeah, somebody's probably going to try to go out there and get him at least in like mid-second round. But I thought he was a big winner today. He looked really awesome in coverage, even though he's a smaller guy. One guy, lineman, probably the most impressive lineman today was North Dakota State tackle / guard Gray Zabel. This guy was so good. They lined him up as so many. They basically lined him up everywhere on the line. Tackle, guard. I think he's probably going to be better at guard than tackle. But he was throwing guys to the ground. He was out here putting in work against some guys who were behemoths on the defensive side there. Gray Zabel looked really awesome to me. He'd be really like, that's a guy I would look at for the Chiefs as a potential guy to look at day two, you know, maybe third round. And then Marshall edge rusher Mike Green. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be in the – I don't know if he's 100% fit for the Chiefs. He's more of a speed guy, but he's got good size to him, like 6'2", 6'3", 255 or so. I really like what Mike Green showed today. He's going to be a speed-to-power type guy.
Oh, by the way, Xavier Restrepo has been listed as a standout at the Senior Bowl today.
Yeah, shocker. Oh, no, Restrepo looked good.
Shocker.
He looked good. The only thing that I think might hurt him is his size because he came in at just under 5'10". But, yeah, we've talked about him a lot. I've talked about him since 23. Restrepo is an incredible talent, and that's a guy I think probably doesn't last midway through the second round. And then from the second session, from the second practice they had, Logan Brown, as I mentioned before, tackle for KU looked really, really good. And especially against like power rushes, he was really dominant. No one was pushing him back on power rushes. Speed rushes, we'll see. He actually did a good job against like spin moves and whatnot. But power rush, you're not gonna beat him with that. And then Cam Jackson, this dude's 6'6", over 350 pounds. He was a load up front. Beating guys he's got some good like speed moves.
And they're gonna need the D line help. That's one of the areas that I can honestly see him go first round.
Yeah, like defensive tackle.
Like even a Harmon out of Oregon.
And I think he wouldn't be a first round pick. He'd probably be like early day three. But that's a guy I would look at as like a rotational defensive tackle, a Mike Dana type. I think at the very least you can put him out there and he can help you control the line of scrimmage in the run game. And I think you do that. I mean, rotational. Let's put him out. Let's put our better pass rushing guys in later. That's what I like. Three guys, though, I think were a little disappointing on day one. First guy was Landon Jackson, edge rusher from Arkansas. He was a little bit too over his toes in the pass rush, kind of falling over himself. And that worries me a little bit. Comes in a little bit too low, over his skates.
Oh, hyped a lot at the early season.
This is a guy I still like him. Still like him for the Chiefs. If the Chiefs were to go get him in the first round, late first round, I'd be all for it, because I think the tape shows that he can line up inside, outside. He's a Minnehue type. I really like this kid. West Virginia tackle Wyatt Milam. This is a guy that was a left. He was shooting up boards as a left tackle, but he didn't really look that great overall. And it looks like he might have to kick into guard. They were putting him in at guard.
This is the common consensus, man. Teams are so cognizant of that. I mean, they're so worried about the quarterbacks and flexibility and getting out. The tackle position, man, they're loading the guards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the guards got all the money this year, because that's where the tackle talent is going, because it takes a special person.
Right.
So I think it's one of the harder positions to replace. Edge rusher, left tackle, corner, some of the toughest positions in all of football to replace.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys. And I've been talking about the last few weeks is like, ain't no shame in your game if you had a kick inside the guard. I mean, you remember Jeff Allen. Jeff mm-hmm. Allen was a left tackle at Illinois. He got drafted by the Chiefs second kick round, right in. Kicked into guard. He was a very good guard for years for the Chiefs. And then the final guy that was disappointing was Deion Walker from Kentucky. Still love his size and all of that. Still love the arm length. The issue he had, though, he's 6'7", and he basically kept getting stood up in a lot of his drills.
Gotta
against
get
guys.
Lower.
His pad height, his pad level was way too high, and that is very concerning to me. So I still like the talent there, but you know they all year long you see on tape pad level's too high sometimes, and basically he just gets swallowed in a double team, and you saw it here. I think though what we're gonna see with a lot of these drills going on and whatnot. I think part of it is there's definitely going to be a decrease in players performing in the All-Star games, which is sad. But I think that means that guys who are like day three guys, smaller college guys, I think those guys are definitely going to put in work, because they could potentially see themselves shoot up some boards. You're going to see, I think, a lot more Quinion Mitchell types out there, small
Quinion
college
Mitchell,
guys.
Look how good we talked him up a ton, man.
We did. Good. He was great, senior bowl.
And what about Jalen Carter, man? We both
hated that pick remember when the Falcons took yes. Bijan Robinson.
Listen, that was
right before the Eagles
that
did.
That was a classic character concerns guy.
Yes.
Right? Classic
yes.
character concerns.
Yes.
A lot of people talk about the number one pick in the draft.
Yes.
And
he
then
was
the character
number
concerns,
one for the longest
yes.
time.
And he slid. What did I say? What did we say? Say, man, teams are going to regret not taking Jalen Ramsey. They're going to regret it. And here yes. he is, just the next Chris Jones, man.
Yeah, he's amazing. Dude, I'm telling you that was an easy shot. That was an easy shot. We both were like, no idea why they did that.
People kick themselves afterwards, but whatever, man. Just,
yeah, like Quinion Mitchell was another guy. We could not believe he fell as far as he did.
And last year, the GMs talked about the lack of depth from fifth round on.
Yeah.
Because of what you're getting. Fifth and sixth and seventh rounders are all of a sudden, they're hitting the transfer portal to get that chance to play, to bring their draft stock up to be a third rounder, fourth rounder, something like that, or getting no money to stay in school, and they're not going to the Senior Bowl. They're not going to the Shrine Bowl. They're not going to the NFL. Now, what the NCAA has done is, you can play 2 years of JUCO. That doesn't count against your eligibility now. It used to, if you go down here to Hutch for 2 years,
yeah.
and you transfer to KU or K-State, you got 2 years. That's
right.
it.
Yeah.
Now you got four.
Now you got four.
So now we're seeing an older group, you know, and nil and everything.
And there's
coming
a lot of these guys that go play, they'll go play junior for a year and then transfer.
Might as well. If it's not going to count against yeah. you might as well. So we're seeing a lot more of this now. It's different. It's going to be different going forward. It's already changing a lot since we've been doing this.
One of the things that I found to be really weird, and well, this is probably the last thing we talk about before we end the show. Quinn Ewers had an opportunity. Like, reportedly, he was offered like $8 million to stay in college, transfer somewhere else, play for a year. Instead, he declared for the draft. Why? What is? Is it just? Is it just because he was embarrassed about having to transfer because of Arch? Like, because we? I don't think you think that he's going to be a good professional.
No, I mean, no.
Why the hell did he? I don't like these, not decide to not stay in college and go get his $8 million.
I don't see
year.
A quarterback in this draft class where I say, "Look out, Patrick! Look out, Josh! Look out, Lamar! Look out, Joe Burrow!" I don't see that guy. Look out, Jalen Hurts! Like, I don't see that guy. to say, hey, man, watch out, guys, because you have to get a stud coming. I don't see it, man.
No.
I'm sorry. And maybe Quinn, maybe he's taking advantage of a weak quarterback class. Maybe that's what he's doing. And then, or maybe.
I mean, he's not going to get taken first round.
No, he's not.
I don't even know if he goes second round.
He'd probably benefit from staying because I'll be honest with you, the 2026 quarterback class does not look good either.
No.
Arch Manning's going to lead that at this point.
Arch Manning, we'll see what happens. Arch didn't look great at Texas.
But I just don't see that guy, that standout guy. And I mean, there's not a lot of first round quarterback talent, in my opinion. I have Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders are my only two.
That's my only two first round grades, which is sad because that's what everybody wants at this point. You know what? And I don't know if they planned it this way or not, but the Falcons look. I know they got a lot of crap last year because you know they drafted Bijan when they already had tied to Algier, you know, on that roster, and they had Kirk Cousins. They just spent a crap load of money on to bring in, and they draft Michael Penix. So I'd like to say that they were smart and say, you know what? We don't like the 25th top five class. We don't like the 26th. We got a chance to grab a Michael Penix right here because Michael Penix would be at the top of the board if he was coming out this year. It'd be much different.
He would.
And
I mean, Bo Nix, I think, would probably be behind Cam Ward because I think Cam Ward's still going to be a top guy.
Cam Ward's fine, but I think. But Penix, so I'd like to give the Falcons credit, saying, all right, that's foresight, man. Thinking, all right, 25,
plus,
26.
I think they also liked Penix. So I think they also liked him.
But they spent a crap load of money to bring in Kirk Cousins.
I mean,
that was a big investment they made. That's the thing. But you know what, though? If that was their intention, that they were looking at 25 and 26 and they were in position to draft a quarterback, Props to you, Falcons. If that's what you planned,
I think that part of it was that. I think part of it was we really like this guy and we can't pass him.
I'm good with that, but if they had the foresight for that, man, nice
work. I'll say this though: I get the feeling that there's going to be somebody out there, and I wouldn't bet money on it, but I kind of get the feeling that somebody late first round is gonna convince themselves that Jalen Milroe is a first-round quarterback and trade back up and get
him. They already started with
like,
the body
like, I was and watching, and like, I've been saying this last couple, like, Trevor Sikkema from PFF is a huge fan of Jalen Milroe. He had him as his number one quarterback for the longest time.
Listen, he could be great, but if you watch the games, he has some head-scratching interceptions, some like, head-scratching plays.
Not even that, but like, you know how Kalen DeBoer is.
Oh, I know.
He wants his quarterback to light it up. Like last year at Washington, when he had Michael, they were lighting it up. They put three receivers in the NFL.
There's 12 teams in the playoff this year,
and all three of those receivers were productive this year to some capacity with the teams they were with.
Like
Jalen McMillan was awesome. Like he was awesome this year for the Bucs. But like all last year, they were lighting it up. And then this past season with Alabama, they did everything they could to not have Jalen Milroe throw the football. If Kalen DeBoer doesn't want you throwing the football very much, something's wrong.
Exactly.
But all the time, I've just seen so many. Like, I think I saw somebody from CBS have him go third overall in their mock, which, you know, mock value right now isn't that high. There's, you know, we're just starting the Senior Bowl practice, and this was last week. But I just feel like somebody is going to reach on this kid. Because
well, it always happens. It's why they reached him with Levis.
I feel like he is Anthony Richardson without the crazy size.
And someone's going to reach on giving Sam Darnold a ton of money. I mean, that's just the quarterback.
Probably the Raiders.
Somebody's going to reach on somebody. I think that's going to happen.
The Raiders are probably going to pay him like 4 years, 120. Probably 4 years, 106. They're probably going to give him the Daniel Jones contract.
And Carson Wentz didn't help himself with the Chiefs in that Broncos game.
I don't think we expected Carson Wentz to help himself this year. Carson Wentz is going to be a forever backup.
I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins ends up as a backup for the Chiefs. Who knows?
I don't know about
you
that.
You never know.
Reportedly, the Browns were interested in going after Kirk Cousins.
Well, so good luck to them.
Somebody, like, I'll say this, we'll end it here in a little bit. I think this is going to be a really strong free agent class for quarterbacks because of how bad the draft is. And next year's class, if it continues to look the way that it does right now, next year. Like, teams are going to be lining up to pay these mediocre. It's going to be like the 1990s. You remember the 1990s? Mm-hmm. Like, teams were getting, they were drafting busts all the time at quarterback. Yep. So back in the 90s, you would see a whole bunch of Elvis Gerbacks out there,
yep,
who were backing up guys like Steve Young. And then Steve Young gets hurt. Gerback comes in, looks really good for a few games. You got teams like the Chiefs trading for him and giving him a big contract. You got guys like Rich Gannon, who actually ended up working out for the Raiders.
Yeah, I did.
They signed, you know, he was a backup. Gerback gets hurt. He comes in. He plays pretty well. And then you you see him sign with the Raiders. He has an MVP season there, goes to a Super Bowl. They lose, but still you got to the Super Bowl, multiple conference championship games. I think that's what we're probably going to see. Like, I think the NFL is probably going to regress a little bit to what we saw in, like, From a quarterback standpoint, the 90s, and I think from a running back standpoint, the 2000s, the early 2000s, I think we're going to see, like, this running back class might be the start of, like, a building up of the value of running back.
Saquon Barkley helps
because
that
the quarterback class is trash.
Saquon Barkley helps
next
that.
Couple years. Saquon helps it, too.
It's one of the few teams you don't say the quarterback's the reason why they're doing it. Because, yeah, Jalen Hurts commands that offense and everything.
Saquon took them to a new
level. Saquon, a new level, man. So.
Yeah. So I think that's – I foresee that this running back class is going to be a catalyst for, like – not like, they're not going to make quarterback money. They're not going to make receiver money.
Yeah.
They're not going to make cornerback money. But, like, I think you're going to see a lot more guaranteed deals, a lot more, like, running backs getting four-year deals for, like – what, $60 million, and probably like 30, 35 of that is guaranteed, which is more than what they're getting right now.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what we're going to see.
Probably.
Because the value of these positions, these other positions, not that great right now. That's receiver right. Value also is going to go up big because mediocre-ass quarterback, really good receiver, yeah, you're going to pay that receiver now. Receiver is going to be getting, they're going to be getting like $40 million here real soon.
Sticking a bank.
So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. Next week we will have we will have updates on the Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl performances. Who were the winners? Who were the losers? Who made themselves some money? Who probably lost themselves some money? And also we are going to talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl and about how these young players have contributed to the success there and how the Chiefs have done a good job at developing the
Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl. You get some reshuffling in mock drafts.
We're definitely going to have some reshuffling. So next week we'll get you updated on who these people have the Chiefs taking in mock drafts. And we'll see you again next week. Kristen Ocero, Jay Binkley. Glad to have you back here, Bink.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, glad to have you back, Bink. And we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.